Hello and welcome in. It is time for the Waffle Mafia podcast once again. Thank you guys for coming and hanging with me for another week. Podcast was off last week. We didn't have a whole lot going on. It's kind of catching up on things and recapping where we've been up to this point. So this is should be podcast number 35, I do believe. Last person that we covered was Lodar. But tonight, we're going to step over, do the Waffle Mafia podcast, make it do what it do, and we're going to have a talk about this reptilian dude. We're going to talk about Whiplash, the evil tail-thrashing warrior. So good old Whiplash, we're going to talk about him, and, you know, of course, do what we do. I'm going to quickly run this thing. We're going to try to get it back to 30 minutes at a time. Cut down on the beers, a little less on the rhymes. Let's see what's going on, guys. Shout out to everybody who jumps into the chat room. Of course, you'll get some pod spots. We'll talk about that too. Sam Misha McKee, what it do, what it do. What's up, Artemis Prime? What's going on, my friend? Geoff Chipello, what's going on, my friend? Crystal Ball Davila, what's happening, my dude? Mr. Simpson, no beer cutting down. Well, I mean, maybe we'll just drink faster. How does that sound? So, Waffle Mafia Podcast, thank you guys for coming over. This is your weekly waffle wrap-up. This is your MOTU rundown, everything that's happening in the Masters of the Universe community, as well as in the Waffle Mafia and what's going on over here. So, with that, we'll have a little pause for the calls, and we'll have a little drink of beer. So, thank you guys for hanging out with me on a Wednesday night. We are at least back to our Wednesday night that we like to do podcasts on. I apologize. I did drag you out a few minutes late here getting it going, but hey, man, it's I'm getting better, guys. I'm getting better. I'm tightening up a little bit. And with that, Johnson, make your mouth quit. So, little pause for the calls. We get that underway. Oh, my goodness. What's happening there, Mr. Kelly Fields? What's going on, my dude? Oh, guys. Big news earlier. Of course, we saw the teaser. We knew it was coming. I mean, it was pretty obvious when they showed the back of the chair. I think all of us that were fortunate enough to have Stridor as children, it was pretty clear that Super 7 really wasn't teasing us all that much with that picture. Like we wouldn't know who that would be. So a Stridor teaser a little bit earlier in the week. And, of course, tonight dropping the bomb that Stridor is coming out to play. So now we will have a Night Stalker, of course. We do have a Jitsu. We have Fisto. And now we will have Stridor. So if you guys want to complete that and show your Stridor with your Night Stalker, that's pretty awesome. Price point's going to be $60. It is a little bit more expensive than Night Stalker was, but $60, absolutely amazing, guys. Solid piece to the line. I mean, for me, it's more important to have Stridor than it even is to have Night Stalker. So, for me, Stridor was where it was at growing up. Of course, again, big fan of Clash of Arms. We'll talk about that. But Stridor, always a staple of my Masters of the Universe experience when I was a kid. So, yeah, it is a little steep. I mean, I agree that $60 is high. But Stridor with the wrong mask and no emblem on the side. Damn you, Aaron Johnson. It's all your fault. I agree, Joel Motto. So one of the first things that I was curious about, you know, I think a lot of us kind of rushed to it immediately was, is it a simple repaint? Yes, it is. It is absolutely. It's a simple repaint. If you look at Night Stalker, if you look at what we're going to be getting with Stridor, it is exactly the same. Yes, the mask is different, Joe. I apologize. But, Yeah, I mean, I would have probably liked to have gotten the smoother, you know, the smooth mask that we got with the original Stridor. That would have been fine with me. But, you know, they pimped it out a little bit for Night Stalker, so I understand they're trying to do, obviously, use the same molds. They're going to try to do the same thing there, too. But in all truth, glorious, and will fit into the line beautifully. It's going to sit beside Night Stalker, obviously, in just the same glorious fashion. So, really, to me, a little bit of a missed opportunity, guys. And I really hate that we have to jump and bash Super 7 over everything they do. And it's really, Brian Flynn said, it's damned if I do or damned if I don't. And it's true, because no matter what they do, they piss off one faction of the fan base. I can drink more Miller Lite than you. The student has become a master. Son, please don't fool yourself and get in the podcast talking all big and stuff. I have lived this life, and boy, it's been rough. So, pause for the calls. Let's get it in. That's a little shout out from my other son, my friend. So there's Cameron Johnson making it for this podcast. Graylin helped us do an unboxing there last week on one of the pages. Shit, I don't know. I don't know what page we went live on. But anyway, appreciate you guys coming over here doing a podcast with me today. It was a little bit of a missed opportunity for me, man. I really, really felt like Super 7 would seriously take some cues from what they're hearing and what the fan base is saying and what's being thrown out there. And, man, a Stridor Fisto 2-pack would have been phenomenal. Now, that sort of would have been crossing lines, because I can tell you this, in my personal opinion, and I'm not saying that they're not, and Super 7 may jump on here and just absolutely prove me wrong, but from what I've understood from Brian Flynn and what I gather in the things that he says, we're not going to see a reissue of Fisto anytime soon, guys. And the fact is, I think what we will see first is we will see a Filmation Fisto long before we see a Collector's Choice reissue or reimagining of Fisto. Because one of the key things that Brian Flynn wants to do is bring something fresh. He doesn't want to recreate something that's already been done. He feels that diminishes the value of what's already on the market. Now, some people agree, some people disagree. I do agree in a sense that we don't need an exact copy. Give me something new. Give me a new pack-in. Give me a new head. Give me something like that. I've never complained about some head. So if you want to include that in your package, that's perfectly fine. But it really, I think, was a missed opportunity in a sense that, you know, we got the Rotan Skelcon sort of thing thrown together there, and you take something that you're only going to buy one of, which is a Rotan, and something that you want to army build, which is the Skelcon, and you put them together in a pack, and you put the price so absolutely ridiculously high that nobody wants to buy it. There was a really good opportunity right here to pop up with a Filmation Fisto, hell, maybe cross the two lines over. Here in this particular two-pack, you could get your Club Grayskull Fisto and get your Collector's Choice Stridor. So, I don't know, a little bit of a missed opportunity there, maybe a blending of the lines. That kind of that would have been pretty cool in my opinion. But still cool that we're getting Stridor. I'm never going to complain, especially about getting something that we should have gotten from the vintage line. Let me catch up and see what's happening there, friends of mine. I could get behind a Filmation Fisto. Dano, me too, because it would be different enough, in my opinion, to meet the criteria that apparently Flynn has to have in order to put out new figures for us. So I'm or to reissue a figure that we already have. So I think that the variance between the two is so dramatic that we definitely could get that without, you know, causing any issues there. And Ultimate Fisto is the right to print money. He's a businessman. He's missing opportunity here. And see, Jeff, that's what I don't understand. And I'm going to go off on a little bit of a side rant here because some of you guys know, some of you guys that hang out with me in the group and talk to me in PM and, you know, even some folks that I know in the real world. I am a businessman. I used to own a restaurant. I used to own a business. What I don't understand is a couple of these really obvious things that had I been listening to the fan base, there were some things I really could have capitalized on. So this Fisto Stridor 2-pack maybe being one of those. I think with some of the PowerCon stuff that got released, I think there was a couple missed opportunities there. I don't know. So I just know that in some things that I've seen and in some of the interviews, I just don't know that our voice is necessarily being heard to the level that a smart business, and I'm not calling Brian Flynn not a smart business person. Obviously, he's much smarter than me to be doing what he's doing and to be doing Super 7 and to be even dealing with a license from Masters of the Universe. He's clearly a much smarter business person than me. But from a fan perspective, it's hard to sit back and watch some of these things happening and know that your heart's in it. There's certain things that you want. There's certain things the line you really want to have. And of course it's different for different people. But when the overall consensus is, hey, please give us this, give us this. And I think Jeff's right. An Ultimates Fisto, hell, I think the Ultimates line in and of itself should have been a huge red flag that said, hey, these people want to buy these and they want to buy them on a vintage card back. The fan base will eat them up. So it was very strange to me to put out five and say, I'm done. But, you know, either way, we don't yet know what Super 7 has for us. We don't know what the future will hold. I do like the idea of sort of rolling these waves out. I don't know if you guys feel it, but to me, it feels like Super 7 is picking up steam. It feels like things are coming out a little bit quicker. They're addressing some of the issues. There are some things that got corrected from the first wave to the second wave. So I really just think that as far as a company goes, they're doing the best that they can with what they have right now as far as you know, we have to keep in mind they're a small company and doing all that good stuff. So, missed opportunities. Yes, it's not a perfect world. I don't think that we're always going to get everything that we want. But to Joe's point, and go back to the point of Strider, or the point that he made originally, yeah, I mean, there's some details that are missing. So, for me, it's going to be interesting to see what the inside of that console piece looks like. They missed it. There is no emblem on the side. There is no the shield, the helmet, the cross staffs, or the cross halberds. That's not there. So that is something that, yes, it was a very minor detail on the vintage figure. But if you look at the vintage battle ram, please tell me that Mattel missed anything on the vintage battle ram. Oh, on the classics reimagining of the vintage battle ram. Absolutely beautiful. Painted detail, a lot of nice paint apps on that. Everything that we had as a kid that was a sticker is now a glorious paint app. So, again, a little bit of missed opportunity there with the Stridor. I know some people are probably going to come in and customize that thing and really pop the details out for it. But, you know, If you look at the vintage version, though, there's not a lot of paint differentiation on that either. But stickers were there, and that's cool. Let me catch back up with you, Adam Hurrow. You're a surprise. I really want a Filmation Attack track eventually. I agree with that, Dan. It would be nice to get a Filmation Attack track because that's something, and I think we were talking about it in another group earlier. I think it's a fairly easy design, the cube-shaped design. Maybe Fafard was talking about it. I can't quite remember. Ultimate Fisto with face paint and arm tassels would have been epic. Joe Amato, your love for the Warrior. It's respectable, my man. Hey, wrap it up in tassels anytime you can. Let's pause for the calls. We're doing a little Enjoy the Toy this evening, man, representing. So there you go, Mr. Hummel. That's a shout out to you and Enjoy the Toy and all that stuff that you do. The shindigger, hootenannery, and slambastery and all that good stuff that goes on over your way. And, hell, every time I can, I jump over there and play. But tonight really is about the man in green and not the candy man, if you know what I mean. So pause for the calls there. Okay, so one last thing about Stridor. There are links out there. I know that Joe shared it on his page. It's cool. But there are links that are driving you over to Super 7's page. Talk about the pre-order. So a pre-order will open up 1 week from today. So next Wednesday, pre-orders will open up, and they will run through the remaining pre-order for the PowerCon stuff. So the PowerCon stuff, that pre-order ends on the 15th. The same thing for Stridor. Now, the interesting thing with Stridor, they are going to ship on July 23rd, they say. Now, we know how shipping dates go, so don't get your hopes up too much. But if you'll notice, we're getting a much quicker turnaround time. And obviously, we didn't even know this was coming. So there's something that's been in the works. Super 7's kept it under wraps. And I really think that's the business model that we're going to see from Brian Flynn going forward, because it really pissed him off that he put out a picture of stuff that wasn't quite finished and we tore it all to hell. So I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of sort of, you know, this is what's in the works. I think a little more of what we're going to see is, bam, do you all like it? So, yes, we do. But we still have a few bones to pick with you. Obviously, QC is an issue. We'll see what happens with these Stridors. I don't know. What's the easiest way to get around a paint app problem? Quit putting paint on stuff. I don't know, guys, but that to me, that's just rough. So I would like to see the detail paint apps. I would like to see the level of detail, I think, that we're used to with the Club Grayskull figures. The lack of detail is important because that's important to their design. With the Collector's Choice stuff, though, and the stuff that we've always deemed as classics, you know, as the Club Grayskull stuff started out, it was is Classics 2.0, but the stuff that we've always deemed as classics is very highly detailed and very important that detail exists, because that is the thing that differentiates it from the stuff in the past. So I really would like to see Super 7 with a bit more of the eye for detail on some of that stuff. But all in all, man, to find out that we're getting a Stridor this evening really has made my night. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like when I pulled that up earlier, and the crazy thing, I got some you guys messaging me. I had a couple people PM me about it. I was like, hey, man, did you see it? And the first message I read was from my buddy, and he said something about, you know, going wild. And I read the message, and I was like, oh, Jesus, what did I miss? And, of course, I get over to the page, and you guys killed it like you always do. There it is. It's already there. So I scroll down Lucky Legends to find something out. And It's like, damn, that is awesome. What amazing news on a Wednesday night that just comes out of nowhere. Dude, I was straight beaming. So, I was beaming, Ricky beaming. You know, I was on it. But I tell you, it didn't quite beam me. I mean, it did beam me up. That was pretty amazing. However, scrolling down and seeing that there is going to be another PowerCon edition again from Mythic Legions. Oh my God, guys, just absolutely made my night. Now, it's not Masters, so it's not necessarily something that we would talk about on the podcast. However, it is a Masters crossover. And when we had the same crossover with Unkin, the same crossover with Adamon and Keltis, I covered those two. So, man, it felt good to share that stuff with you. So we have Cowrus. I believe this is how you pronounce it. Let me kick back over here and look at it one more time, because I haven't actually looked at it since I shared it with you guys. I think it's Cowrus. I really think that is an awesome, you know, and it's kind of like Adamon and Keltis. That was the throwback to Adam and Keldor. And so Cowrus, Cowrus, Cowrus. That's very awesome. A little nod at Cringer there. But Cowrus, very neat. And then also we have, along with Cowrus, we get Melina the Malevolent. So obviously a little throw to Cringer and Evil Lynn. Like I said, in the past, we've gotten Unkin, who was a devilishly close looking to that handsome fella Duncan. We got Adam, Adamon, you know what I mean? But, man, these Mythic Legions, they are oh so clean. So they are going to have those available also for PowerCon. PowerCon coming up in August. I know some people are making some plans and already trying to arrange their trip. I said last year, oh, my God, I really want to go. Had a new baby. Made it difficult to get that done. This year, it would be nice. I mean, I absolutely would love to fly out for a couple of days and hit PowerCon. I am in for the exclusives, so I'm going to be getting the exclusives for you guys for us to take care of here in Lucky Legends. And then, of course, I'm definitely going to try to pick up these Mythic Legions. These Mythic Legions figures will go on sale from Store Horsemen a little bit later. But just beautiful sculpts by the Four Horsemen. Absolutely amazing. Was super pumped to share that with you guys. And, of course, that's coming up for PowerCon this year. Let's see. Ultimate Fist on their face paint. I don't know. I keep reading Joe's comment. Like, that's a new comment, Joe. I just want you to know, every time I read that, that's new to me. It's doing the same thing. Comments not keeping up with me like they were before. So I don't know, man. I don't know why it's doing that. It's the wifey's Mac, so it could be that. But who knows? Either way, we got to talk about a couple things about Whiplash, okay? So I'm not going to keep you guys all night. I always say that, but that ain't right. So, yo, Whiplash. Good old Whiplash. Introduced 1983, he was in the Wave 3 of figures. Now, Wave 3 of the vintage figures would see some animal-like creatures. So what we saw here is we've got this reptilian Whiplash, sort of alligator-type kind of lizard monster. But we got Whiplash. We got Buzz Off. We got Cobra Khan. We got Web Store. And there was another within that line, or within that particular wave. I can't remember the last one. But anyway, it was from a line of sort of animal inspired figures. So Whiplash being one of those. Now, Whiplash was a very obvious parts reuse. The only thing here that was new or sort of sculpted different was the head. So the head was new. And, of course, we got this nice tail back piece that was added in. It's the first time we saw that. Just making slots in where the plastic came together there and sort of fitting this piece over and then clamping the two pieces together to close them up. So very interesting design. If your guys were anything like mine, you start getting, after excessive tail whip, you start getting tears, your back starts breaking down a little bit when your tail starts whipping around. But all in all, one of my favorite figures as a kid, mainly because of the colors. And I really liked it because super bright green. He has this bright orange. He's got the blue trunks, the blue boots. Parts reuse for this guy is a complete reuse. We have Buzz Off legs. So if anybody's never paid attention very closely, Whiplash is Buzz Off. So we have Buzz Off. We have the exact same body for Whiplash. We have the exact same legs. But what we do have is we have the Skeletor arms for reuse. So that's the monster arms there. And then a newly sculpted head. So a lot of things in that line saw parts reuse. Clawful was the other one that we didn't say. So Clawful, of course, he has the same legs as well. But Whiplash, packaged 83. Is very interesting evolution of this character because in the beginning, he wasn't Whiplash at all. He was never actually called Whiplash. He was first originally released, and not necessarily as a figure, but simply as a concept, as Lizard Man. So Lizard Man was envisioned by Colin Bailey. And Colin had some drawings of what he thought the Lizard Man would look like. Obviously, they had tasked him with drawing this character and coming up with this. So, Lizard Man, who was quite different in look from Whiplash, was the original concept design. Now, he did have two horns that sort of come up out of the top there. And if you guys want to check that out and see a picture of him, what's happening, Ruth? What's going on, Squirrel? If you guys do want to see a picture of him and see what he looks like, that concept art, you can check it out on Battle Ram Blog. Just search Battle Ram Blog. You can go to the index there, look up Whiplash, so it's a big shout out to them. Appreciate you guys giving me a nod on Twitter. That was cool. I appreciate that. So Battle Ram Blog, always a wealth of information, but it shows the graphics and the art of things, and I think sometimes that's really super important because it gives us a visual look at where the artist was going with the figure before we actually got the figure. So if you'll notice on Whiplash, as a figure, he does have two little nubs up here on the top of his head, so it's kind of indicated that he had horns. But in the original design, two great big horns. Color scheme, very different. There are some similarities, but quite different from what the actual prototype toy ended up being. So he had a green, yellow, and purple sort of scheme that we saw there, and that actually translated over a little bit into the mini comic that Whiplash was released with. So when we ended up getting down to the actual prototype for this figure, this is what we ended up with. He's actually very close to his prototype. However, with Filmation, they wanted to do the figure Lizard Man, and they were working on that. It made it into the 82 series Bible, so the concept of Lizard Man they've been working on for a while. However, Lizard Man, as envisioned in the 82 Bible, was sort of just kind of was what it was. Hey, thank you, Candyman. You know, I do what I do. I took a bath today, right? It's Wednesday. You got to get ready for Thursday, right? Thirsty it up. Get it in. But that was the deal for the Lizard Man. So the Lizard Man was listed as actually being able to climb walls. He could climb perpendicular walls. They're very specific about which particular walls you climb. You can climb horizontal walls, perpendicular walls. But the Lizard Man could climb the walls. He was very quick, cunning, agile. So some things, it made him sound very intelligent, made him sound very smart. He was sneaking around. He was sort of, you know, using his abilities to help He-Man. And that's an interesting piece in and of itself, because Lizard Man being envisioned is good. The only thing that the Liz had to look out for, and it actually does reference him as Liz in the series Bible, the only thing old Liz had to worry about was the once-a-year molting that happened and the shedding of his skin. It could get really rough. You've got to make sure that you exfoliate. But once a year, he became vulnerable because he shed his tough outer skin. So not sticking with that particular concept, they decided, because Filmation did actually want to use that, wanted to use Lizard Man, needed to have a character created to fit that, they simplified the concept of the character and just sort of made him what he was, and we got the Lizard Man that we actually do have as a classics figure. So, little info about Lizard Man. It would have been Whiplash in She-Demon of Phantos, which was the fifth Filmation episode. He did pop up in Song of Solace and in The Rarest Gift of All, so three episodes for Lizard Man. Lizard Man, I mean, you can more or less say is a cousin to Whiplash. He adopted this blue and white and green scheme, whereas we then got a Filmation Whiplash, which was a little bit closer to what the actual prototype was. So when the prototype came out, this is pretty close to what we had from the painted prototype before the toy went into production. Once the toy went into production, here's what we got. Filmation then decided sort of dumb it down just a little bit more. Simplified green, get rid of the orange, just leave it blue, throw some blue cuffs. We got the blue shoes. And the fact is, in the Filmation series, we actually, the monster feet versus having the clawed toes that he has here. So there that is. So there's a little bit different design for Whiplash when he was in the Filmation series. As far as character consistency goes, there are only a few things with Whiplash that are a little bit off. In some of the older, I think it's the German audio plays, he is, it is listed that he is a reptiloid, so he's listed as a reptiloid. In Filmation, the Filmation telling of him, he was from a, what was it called? Goodness, he was from the Demon Zone, an inhabitant of the Demon Zone. And Whiplash initially served the Demon King Crawl and had a legion of creatures serving him. He became one of Skeletor's most confident and trusted warriors. There was that, so that there's that telling of who he is. There is, of course, like I just said, he was a reptilian brute, a reptiloid from the Dragon's Land of Warania. So the Dragon's Land of Warania. I thought it was interesting. It says where he used the Dragon Walker. So apparently we had Whiplash driving the Dragon Walker. Other than that, everything else pretty much consistent to sort of the mini comic version of him, the 83 mini comic version of him. Whiplash, this particular Whiplash, was packaged with one of the greatest mini comics of all time, Clash of Arms. So good old Clash of Arms. There you go. That was also packaged with Whiplash. in there, as it starts out, we see the man of the day. So there you go. You got Stridor and Fisto are out to play, and Jitsu's jumping in, chopping. Guys, this story so great. Make sure you check it out. Now, one of the most important things about the mini comic and why I brought it up, what do you think of the price? Only $5 difference. I think it's amazing, Monroe, because to be quite honest with you, man, I mean, you got to think about it, guys. That $60 price point, that is not bad at all, especially for the amount of figure that you're getting. I mean, in my mind, as far as vehicles go, $60 price point, I mean, I think Jimbo Stone said it earlier. I mean, I'm just all effing in, man, all effing day. I mean, at 60 bucks, dude, I'm down to play. And that's what it is. So let's pause for the calls on that, and let's get that done. I got to get on it here. I got to outdrink my son, so. Let's look at Whiplash. So Whiplash and Clash of Arms, if you'll look closely, you've got green, you've got purple, black, and yellow. This is very interesting because those are the colors of that particular concept character that Colin Bailey did that we were talking about earlier. So that he was sort of these garish, really bright purple, white, or purple, yellow, black, green color. So that actually translated to the mini comic because at the time they were working on, you know, the concept and just took some of the colors from it and used it there. He would be depicted later on in his correct colors or what you would consider to be his correct colors. I actually kind of like this version of his colors here. I think it'd be cool to see a Whiplash custom that followed this particular color scheme. That's kind of cool. The only other real telling as far as things that I would want to touch on with Whiplash is the 2002 MYP, because in MYP, it is the reason that we got the pack-in that we got where we got this extra head. So here with Whiplash, you have the extra head. This is the 2000X head. Oh, good Lord, for Whiplash. And he is affixed with a new accessory, so that is a new weapon, a 2002 MYP weapon there. But so in that series, you have a bit of a different looking Whiplash. Whiplash is a bit larger, meaner, more menacing. He is a Caligar, so not a Reptiloid in this particular telling. He is a Caligar, so he is the son of the Caligar King. Sort of gets a little bit upset. Let's see what we got. Well, that's actually in the Classics telling. In the MYP telling, it doesn't give us a whole lot of backstory other than he grew up in the underworld of Subternia and was resented by his people. Caligars having been portrayed in the past. So the Classics bio is where we get into a little bit of story of Torant Krazut, which is the other name that they give to him, Torant Krazut. I have no idea why or what in the world that would ever mean. But Netlich, man, you know what it you know what it be. He was once Torant Krazut, son of the leader of the Caligars. When his father died, his older brother Ceratus took over. So, or Ceratus, or however you guys like to say it, but Ceratus is what I call him. In the MYP story, the Caligars, pretty cool. You had the telling of that. I really like that story for Whiplash myself. I don't necessarily need to have sort of the brother thing as far as fighting over who's going to be the heir to the throne, but I like the idea of him being a Caligar. I don't think just saying a reptiloid race really doesn't do that much for me, but I'm cool with the Caligar concept. I'm cool with the, you know, the Avionians and all the different races of people doing what they do. I think that's a little more towards what Masters was shooting for, that there are these different types of creatures, these different types of people out there. You know, but There he is with the 2000 X heads, a little nod there to the 2002 MYP version of Whiplash. So that's our Whiplash discussion for tonight, guys. I really didn't with it. There wasn't really too much depth to get into with Whiplash. He is a very in-depth character. As far as the things that he does in filmation, he's very much relied on as a henchman. Same thing with MYP, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the dull, lackey concept of having somebody that's just the big, dumb, dull wit who's just there for brute force. But if it was anybody in MYP swinging that monster's tail and smashing things, he was a very formidable foe, very well done. And tomorrow's thirsty. And it's Thursday, and I see you right here, son. So thank you guys for coming and hanging with me. What's up, Wally Cat? What's going on, my friend? Oh, Dano. Melina, that evil Lynn. I agree, man. Mythic Legions has just graced us this evening. We even got a little blessing from Super 7. What more can we need? going to give us some Masters-looking stuff and a pretty cool-looking steed. So there you go, guys. Go pause it on out. This beer here is done. And if you need drinking lessons, just ask my son. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for doing what we do. It's some Waffle Mafia, baby, and we're on Pop Culture Network, too. Check out Fans of Power with Mr. Joe Amato and Mr. Tyler Baker. Always doing what they do. Check out the Masters of the Galaxy podcast, too. Make sure you come over, hang with me on Thursday night and Syrupy Saturday, man, if that's all right. We do the Waffle Mafia, baby. Y'all know what it be. Come over here and hang out at Lucky Legends with me. I appreciate you guys. I love y'all. We'll talk to you later. Peace. See you tomorrow because it's Thursday at least.